evening.
Good evening, Malka.
I hope you're well.
What's up? How about you?
I'm still well. Baruch Hashem.
Good, yeah. Baruch Hashem.
I believe you're the only one. Is that correct?
I think so. Yes, sir.
Okay, well.
Oh, no.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
So we will begin. We're studying the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parashat Vayera, section 7, Pasuk 102. We'll start with L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kudsha brichu ishkite divkilu urchimu utkilu utkilu urchimu v'yachta l'shem yuhe b'valhe v'yichud ha'shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah v'asok Torah mitzvah v'hi no'am Adonai Rufinu elenu ma'aseh yedenu p'nenehu elenu ma'aseh yedenu p'nenehu. I hope everyone is well. We're in Pasuk 102, section 7, from Parsha Vayera. Ayesara ishtecha ilabalu lomar kama kewan kamar hinei vel el miyad vayomer shovashu ele taket Kaya Wichine Ven Lissara Ishteha Wigomer Tahatse Orach Ara Yadla Azmin Avraham Kamaihu Lameka Lamaru Leyamide Begin de la git haze begin. He no fishora pasmin le whole may call. Patar dictive bayo kalu gidain amaru leya ahi o fishora. The translation, where is Sarah, your wife? He did not understand why they asked about her. When they heard she was in the tent, they did not enter it to inform her. Instead, they remained outside while they informed Abraham, and he answered. They did not want to announce the good news in front of her. She immediately after, he said, behold, in the tent, it is then written, he said, I will return and definitely come back to you at this time next year. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Come and see. It was very polite and proper that they said nothing to Abraham before he invited them to eat. This way it did not seem that he invited them to eat because of the good news that they brought him. Therefore, only after the verse stated, and they ate, did they inform him about the good news. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. This is teaching us to contemplate the effect of our words and actions upon all who hear or see. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Wow, words can bring glory and it can bring shame.
You broke up with me anyway. What? Say it again, please.
I said our words could bring glory and shame and or shame.
Our words can bring glory and change, correct. Rarely do words bring change.
I said shame.
Shame. I'm sorry. I was getting some crackling.
Did I get cut off? I don't hear anything.
No, I hear you.
Oh, okay.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think they acted politely. I mean, to enter a woman's tent would not have been the order of the day. And if they were so polite in the lower paragraph of the passage and eat first, before they told Abraham the news, well, they certainly wouldn't have gone into her tent. And
do you think a feminist would accept that?
I don't know. See, I never agreed that women weren't or they were lessened in thought or anything through the Torah, because to me, in the Tanakh, they're throughout. And they played a prominent role, and they, especially when there was no man to take up the job. So I don't know what feminists think. Or, you know, so just like I don't like their dipped dresses.
I find the verse confusing. I understand the concept of modesty and politeness. Yet, Rabbi Ashlag is saying that Abraham didn't understand why did they ask about her. And the verse is saying, if I'm reading it correctly, they didn't want to announce it in front of her.
Well,
so these two things seem a little confusing.
You know, there was a verse sometime during the month of Shavuot, I don't remember where it was, that I read. I mean, it's well known, you know, that God said something about if he would always reveal his plan to Abraham and his friends.
He announces harshness, harsh judgment on the world to the Tzaddikim, to Abraham, to his friends.
Mm-hmm.
Hashem always announces his actions. But when it comes to whether a woman conceives a child, I'm not aware of any other announcements. Well, there were in the Book of Prophets, there are other announcements. But those announcements don't go, if I remember correctly, they don't really go to the man, they go to the woman. I may be wrong because I'm not an expert in the Book of Prophets, and there's a lot of stories that I, you know, read mm-hmm. over the years, and you know, don't remember as clearly as I should. But if we look at this mm-hmm. particular verse, what it's saying, you have these statements or these questions as statements. One by Rabbi Ashlag that I assume Abraham did not understand why they asked about Sarah. And when they heard she was in the tent, they did not enter it to inform her. That I can understand from the standpoint of modesty. Instead, they remained outside while they informed Abraham. Okay, that's all part of modesty and the relationship. Maybe in those times, maybe not now in the sense of the way women are treated and the changing patterns of the way women are treated, which may or may not be real. I think they're real because women are growing to the level of the men, as the metaphor of the sun and the moon and Rabbi and Isaiah's prophecy says. But then they said they did not want to announce the good news in front of her. So immediately after, he said, behold, in the tent, it is then written, I will return and definitely come back to you this time next year. Okay. Does that really, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Does that mean that Sarah is going to become pregnant? Most people assume that that's what they're saying, and that's what actually happened. But it could also be that there would be another handmaid, the way it's being written in English. And then the explanation, let me finish the questioning, because then the explanation is, it was both very polite and proper and modest that they said nothing to Abraham before he invited them to eat. This we can understand also, because if they had not eaten and then they announce about the Isaac being born, then Abraham invites them to eat, it would imply that it was a reward for the good news, or it was because of the joy he felt the day he invited them to eat, not that that was his normal nature. So that second part of the verse is, I can understand it's very clear, but the others seem to be having some inconsistency, and that's where my confusion comes from. I'm complete now with the questions that I've asked.
Okay, I have actually three thoughts. The first thought is that they went to Abraham and announced that Sarah would have a child. But that said, it meant that Abraham would deliver the seed for that child to Sarah. And God provides all, absolutely. But Abraham had to do the action. And they were up in age, right? 90s, 100.
Right, and he was 100. He was 99, and she was 90.
Right, so probably intimacy wasn't that often, or not, for that, you know, at that time. Don't know, just a thought. So that he would have to do the action to bring a child in, right? So
yes.
The next thing is that Sarah heard this in her tent. She was inside the tent. She heard and she giggled that she was going to have a child, that her and Abraham were going to be intimate. She was a prophet as well.
Correct.
So she knew that it would come through her and not a handmaid. And so with that said, I think didn't want to embarrass, and you know, modesty comes into place with Sarah and Abraham, you know, with being up in age. So I think it's just something that Abraham had to take action on, you know, so that's why they told, I think it was more for Abraham than it is for Sarah. Sarah's a vessel. Sarah's a receiver.
Right.
Abraham is, you know, so I kind of see it along those lines, that it was more for Abraham than
Sarah. It's very interesting, and it does give me some clarity to it, so, because I hadn't considered it that way, so thank you.
Also, wasn't it the circumcision was necessary before he could have the son of promise?
It was necessary before he could have had been intimate with Sarah, but it was necessary for him to be able to draw the soul of Isaac.
Right.
And I think maybe with the circumcision, I think Sarah knew, with that in place, knew that she would give birth to that child because of the circumcision.
That's consistent with what you had said earlier, and it's also very,
right.
Unless you've been following that process, that line of logic, although we don't always have to be logical. But if you don't follow that line of logic, then you wouldn't have gone to that place. But there's a lot of things you said that are very valid. So again, I thank you for that.
What about when, you know, he sent them off to prepare a fatted calf to feed the angels? So there had to be other people around. And if the angels appeared to look like men, and the idea, if a woman was caught in the presence of a man, you know, it goes along with Soto, you know, then the appearance of evil to the other, to any onlookers or those that were preparing the food, they wouldn't have had maybe the consciousness that these were angels and would have thought they were men and would have, if, you know, the second visit was needed to say that when she would have the child, to not assume that it was the visitors who came to the tent.
Right.
Could have played a part. I don't know. That's one thought.
Absolutely.
So they said he brought the souls, you know, from Egypt and had all these servants and animals.
Well, Abraham was a very wealthy man, and he did have a lot of servants. And yet he served these people himself, is the way the Torah directs it. But he was constantly inviting people to eat. That was the nature. That was the, according to the Midrash, this is how he explained to people about God. It was over the meals that he served them. He would be teaching them about the one God. So that is all part of what we understand his normal pattern of behavior was. The announcement to Sarah would have been confusing to him. The announcement, the request, where is Sarah? And then he announces that there's going to be a birth. It is an unusual approach, and as Malka said, you know, it really was to get him to be intimate, because in married couples, intimacy can go on for many, many years, up into the 90s and 100s, but it is not normal that it intimacy is the same as what they were when they were 20. It's an unusual time. There may be a lot of cuddling, there may be a lot of warmth, there may be a lot of love expressed, but the actual act of intimacy may be few and far between, if at all, in people in their 90s. Since none of us are in our 90s, we really don't know. Or maybe we do, but that's something I don't want to get into. But you've the comments from both of you have helped clarify the questions I've had and helped me understand it in different ways, so I truly appreciate that. Should I go on, or do you want to stay with this for a while more?
I think we can go on.
Yes, sir.
Verse 103. Wayo kelu salka data uki malake ilae akle ela begin yekara the Avraham itchaze hake Amar Rabbi Elazar Vayokelu Vadai Begin Dehinun Esha Deakil Esha Willa itchaze Wikoma Dehav Lon Avraham Achle Begin Demisitra The Avraham Akle Le'ela. The translation. He asks, it is written, and they ate. And do celestial angels eat? And he replies, for the sake of Abraham's honor, it seems as though they ate. This means that they made it seem as though they were eating. Rabbi Elazar said they did actually eat, because they are the fire that consumes fire. And it is not as though they were eating. So they ate everything. Abraham offered them, because from the side of Abraham, they ate on a supernal level. This means that the drawing down of chassidim is the secret of eating on a supernal level. And Abraham is the secret of chesed. Therefore, everything he offered them came from his own attribute, from the attribute of chesed. And they ate, just as they eat above in the heavens. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. What happens on earth happens in heaven. What happens in heaven happens on earth. This is the lesson of this pasuk. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Are we talking about the celestial beings eating? Is that energy, not so much the physical food? It's the energy that they consume from the different sephirot, the returning light, the bringing down of the light. I mean, it's just the whole system of the energy in the heavens. I don't know if it's actually food. I see it as the actions that are brought back up through the sephirot. That's what I think anyway. I'm not sure what to think, but that's what I'm going with.
Appreciate the comment.
Well, it takes time.
Anybody
to
else
prepare
want
food?
Not Robin.
I was going to.
In the physical world, we live in a time or we live in process, step by step. You can't prepare bread without first preparing flour. You can't prepare flour without first harvesting the grain. Everything is a step by step process, but that's only in the physical world.
Well, what I was thinking was while that food was being prepared and it took time, both the bread and for the meant they had to.
Time is chesed. So the drawing down of time is the drawing down of chassadim. And it helps you understand the words and the wording of this pasuk. But the question is, these are angels. These are angels that represent fire. They represent strong emotions. They represent this idea, the secret of eating on a supernal level. It's a phrase that we really need to define, and this verse is trying to define it. They can only eat when the energy flows from one level to the next lower level. Each level is being fed the energy that it can receive. It can't receive the energy from a higher level, and it can share to the energy of the lower level. But eating, as Malka said, eating on a supernal level is a form of energy. But light can only be revealed at each level with a vessel. And that vessel is the light of Chesedim. That's why we can see the light of Chokmah, the light of wisdom, only when it's concealed in the light of Chesedim. Both states, light of Chokmah and light of Chesedim, are vessels. But the light of Chokmah is a higher level of energy, a stronger, a more intense level of energy. But we can't perceive it, and neither can the angels perceive it, even though that's what they eat. Now, we are told when manna came that this is the food of angels. But it was physically manifested on earth. And that physical manifestation of that food is not the way it's eaten in the supernal levels, into the heavens. How do they absorb it? We were taught that Adam, before the sin, his skin was translucent, and he radiated energy. But he received the energy through his skin. He didn't eat. He didn't have a digestive system. Only in this earth is there a digestive system. Now, it's not real clear. I mean, I've never read any way that explained how they go in the level of the angels. How do they consume food?
Is it through osmosis?
Say again?
Is it through, like, osmosis? Is that how you say it?
Yes, so osmosis is one way of understanding how Adam received it before the sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one way of understanding how the angels would receive it. The energy would flow to them, as opposed to having to have a process of eating.
Right.
But we really don't know. I've never read any descriptions that describe how angels eat. This is the closest we get.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of eating on the physical world, we think of it as consuming food. Starting with the saliva and the chewing, you break down the food, and then it goes through the digestive process and separates between the good energy of the food and the waste products of the food. And that's what we think of as eating. But in the spiritual world, the same physical word eating represents receiving energy to grow, but angels don't really grow. They're created this way. The angels receive energy to do their work, to do their tasks. But the word that's used is eating. But in order to eat, in order to receive the energy, it has to be veiled in the light of Chasadim, in the vessel known as the light of Chasadim. Because the angel needs to receive that energy at the level that the angel is at. So the angels that you sowed will receive different energy than the angels at Gevurah. We're out of time. I hope what I just said it makes things a little clearer for you.
Okay.
I'm planning, because we didn't have a lot of 7 o'clock classes this week, I'm planning to teach the Ari's essay for the Parsha Vayikel. Unless you really want a Zohar section for Vayikel. The reason I don't want the Zohar request section is it's section 7 of Vayikel, and it's a long section that we won't be able to finish in one session. So I didn't want to start it. But
okay.
I'm up to, if you have a different opinion, I'm open to your opinions. If you'd like to have the Zohar class, we will. Because there's a lot of what appears to be chaos in this world, and we may need the energy of the Zohar, but the Ari gives us energy as well. So you might want to think about it if you're planning to come to the 7 o'clock class tonight. And our 7 a.m. class will continue our Psalms. Psalm 78 tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Shalom to all. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom.
You too.
Shalom.
Thank you.